Welcome to the Cold Steel Surgical Podcast with your hosts, Amir Farouk and Chad Ball.
So, hey, thank you so much for joining us today on the Cold Steel Podcast. We're really excited to bring this series of episodes to the podcast, highlighting some of the best presentations, research, things that we saw at the recent Canadian Surgical Forum that was in the beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, just earlier in September of 2023. And I'm delighted to bring back one of our former residents from Queen's University, Zuhaib Mir, to talk about the work that he was a part of when he was here at Queen's as a resident and the principal investigator for this. I'm sorry, the first author on this paper is Sunil Patel, and the senior author is Kelly Vogt from London. And welcome again, Zuhaib, to talk about the delay trial.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. Good to see you again.
So Zuhaib, can you, for anyone who doesn't know you, can you tell us about where you are currently and what you're doing for your fellowship?
Yeah, I'm currently at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Canada, and I'm doing my hepatobiliary fellowship here about 2 months in now. And happy to be here.
Yeah, it sounds like things are going very well and you're really enjoying yourself out in Halifax. So Zuhaib, let's dive right into it. So this, just for context, this actually was presented at the CSF best papers session. This was actually each subgroup within the Canadian Association of General Surgeons chose a paper to send to the best paper presentation that was on the last day of the conference. And Dr. Auer, Dr. Jason Park, and myself were lucky enough to chair that session. So we got to hear from some really phenomenal folks that were doing some phenomenal research. And your paper actually, along with your co-authors, Sunil Patel, Lisa Zhang, Madeline Lemke, the good Rob Leeper, Laura Allen, Eric Walzer, and Kelly Vogt won the top prize. So can you tell us about what the delay trial was and what was sort of the impetus for this trial?
Sure thing. I would have to completely agree with you. What an interesting and awesome session that was, hearing all the work from colleagues across the country. With respect to the delay trial, so this arose out of work that the group at Queen's had done, I think mostly during my time as a resident, perhaps starting just a little bit before, just looking at timing of surgery operating overnight and whether or not there was a difference in outcomes. So the group had actually looked at some population level data out of Ontario using the ICES database, looking at timing of appendectomy and risk of complications, proportion of complications as a result of operating overnight. And really what we wanted to do, and the idea was actually put together by Dr. Sunil Patel and one of my senior residents at the time, Dr. Lisa Zhang, who's a colorectal surgeon in Ottawa now. They really wanted to look in a very pragmatic way at what if we delayed patients with, you know, straightforward appendicitis to the next morning instead of operating overnight. As I'm sure many people have this anecdotal experience of booking those types of patients for at the end of their day list, and then one or two cases happen that bump you, and all of a sudden, you're faced with the prospect of doing a relatively straightforward appendectomy at a somewhat inconvenient time, not just for yourself, but for the OR staff and for the patient who, you know, usually is quite well, but perhaps doesn't need to have urgent surgery in the middle of the night.
So can you tell us a little bit about the study design and your inclusion criteria?
Yeah, so this was set up as a two-center non-inferiority-based trial. There was a composite outcome of several sets of complications, immediate post-operative complications, readmission to hospital, VTE, all of these that had actually been looked at in the previous population-based work, and together formed a 30-day composite outcome and as a primary outcome. patients that presented with appendicitis in the evening hours that were planned to have surgery between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. were randomized to either receive surgery within 6 hours or to receive their surgery the following morning, anytime after 6 a.m. Patients were recruited both at Queen's University and at Western University by our colleagues there. And ultimately, we looked at how they did after surgery. We measured some of the intraoperative and perioperative metrics as well, and the overall complication rate. And we were happy to report that there was actually no increase in complications. There's actually slightly lower rate of complications in patients that were in the intervention group, meaning patients that were delayed to the following morning for surgery. This was set up as a non-inferiority trial, and we were certainly able to demonstrate that for the primary outcomes. The secondary outcomes were, yeah, perfect. I think you have our manuscript there. The secondary outcomes were perforation rate and operative time, and the proportion of patients with perforation was not significantly higher. And the operative time is actually lower in patients in the intervention group. So you can see those findings right there. There's really no other major differences to highlight. We were not able to show superiority, but certainly the effect estimate was trending in that direction.
So Z, I think one of the questions that you were asked is, did this result in overall longer stays for patients, given that you were not operating them on them immediately?
So length of stay in hospital, the metric we looked at was prolonged length of stay. They're obviously, by virtue of how the study was set up, those patients would have had to stay in hospital a little bit longer than patients that got surgery immediately, although not always. But the prolonged length of stay outcome was not significantly different between the two groups.
And I think one of the things that, right, here we go. And remind me, what was this composite primary outcome?
Yeah, the composite primary outcome what included things like, immediate post-operative or 30-day post-operative cardiac outcomes, respiratory issues, readmission, PERC drain, visit to emergency department, and emergency department visits actually were a key metric that was important to look at, because that's one thing that other studies in the literature have shown can be different in these subgroups.
One of the things I think is important to highlight, and something the moderators of the session really picked up on, was that this was a very much a resident-led trial. Can you comment a little bit about how the recruitment process went and how residents were involved in this study?
Yeah, 100%. And I really wanted to highlight this because this trial being recognized in front of all of our peers at the Canadian Surgical Forum and being accepted for publication, I think is really a testament to all the residents that were involved in this study, my colleagues at Queen's as well as colleagues at Western. So as residents, the patient recruitment and getting them involved in the study was very much done by the residents. These patients are seen at, odd times in the evening and overnight. And so randomization, recruiting the patients into the study, explaining all of that, and really carrying out the study protocol was facilitated by so many of my colleagues. And at the end of the day, they also looked after these patients and performed their operations. The important part in that, obviously, is the analysis of outcomes. People that were analyzing the outcomes were blinded to that whole process. And so you try your best to decrease any bias in the study process.
That's fantastic work. What are some of the things that you learned from being a part of this study? And can you tell us some takeaways that you want folks to walk away with from your study?
Sure. So I think from a clinical standpoint, what we've been able to show is that it's really not wrong to have patients with straightforward appendicitis who are not unwell, who don't need a higher level of care in ICU or don't come in with frank sepsis. It's okay to do their case the following day. Caveat is you don't really want to delay them beyond 24 hours, as there is some literature to show that outcomes at that point seem to be worse. But you can comfortably, using level one evidence from Canadian centers, delay your patient's case to the next morning instead of operating on them overnight. Ultimately, I think that makes a difference for you as a surgeon, makes a difference for the operating room staff. It doesn't overload the ORs and take away from, you know, patients that are perhaps more sicker and need urgent ORs, but now cannot get in because there's a case going on in the middle of the night. And at the end of the day, I think it's probably beneficial for the patients too. They get to not have surgery in the middle of the night. They get to rest and still go home the next day as long as, you know, nothing untoward happens during their operation. From the standpoint of being part of this trial, to your second part of your question, you know, there's so much I learned. Running a clinical trial is so challenging. At one center, and especially so at two centers, there's just so much that goes into being able to share information between two institutions, but also just setting up the study protocol and executing it at the end of the day. So I certainly have. I'd learned a lot about clinical trials during residency and then during my master's when I did the CIP, but I think actually going through this process, I was, you know, on the ground experience, and I learned so much about the practicalities and the difficulties in practice of how to do this.
Well, congratulations again for all your hard work and thank you again for sharing your study with us today. We'll obviously have a link to it in the show notes, which the published manuscript is in Annals of Surgery, and I'm sure we'll hear lots more from the good Dr. Muir in the future. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Cold Steel, the official podcast of the Canadian Journal of Surgery. If you have comments or questions, please email us at podcast.cjs@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.